afternoon, this evening, to be here. And I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 45.
Verse 7.
Psalm 45, verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness
and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
If you back up and read verse 6, it says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Verse 7 is referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. If you will read and study the Old Testament, you will find there were three offices that were ones were anointed. You can look and you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 9 where Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel.
If you turn to read 1 Samuel chapter 16, after Saul had disobeyed God and destroyed the Amalekites, and the throne was taken away from him, that the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king.
And you know the story of the account there, where he went to the house of Jesse, and seven of his eight sons were there, David being the only one that was not there.
And he wound up anointing David. We'll just cut to the chase there. So
you can find where there were kings
who were anointed of God. That's one office.
Another office that was anointed is priest. In Exodus chapter 40,
verse 15, it talks about one that was anointed as priest.
And I'm not turning there. I'm just trying to lay this out quickly here because I want to get to the second part of that verse there, or the end part, I should say. But in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 32, you'll find again that there was a priest who anointed. All I'm trying to do to set out here this evening is to show you that there were three offices that were anointed. We sang a song, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. We sang it tonight. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. We sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And it talks about my prophet, priest, and king. It talks about those three offices. So that's all I'm trying to show you is that there were three offices that were anointed by God in the Old Testament. Remember what John chapter 5 and verse 39 says. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. That's red writing. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, that's Jesus speaking, saying, if you read the Old Testament, they're telling you about me. That's what he's saying. Search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life, but that's not, they testify of me. They tell you of me. So what we're trying to set across, laid before you here, is that there's three offices that were anointed by God, and the third one being a prophet. And you can read that in 1 Kings chapter 19.
1 Kings chapter 19. So, we could spend a lot of time there, but we want to spend time this evening, the time that's left, explaining and talking about that he was anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Fellows are friends. Fellows, if you look up the definition, it's the ones who have been united with someone. So what he's saying, you've been anointed above those you've been united with, and that's us. You have been anointed above us, is what he's saying. So we're talking about Jesus here. And if you'll do just a little bit of reading, you'll find that there's three scriptures in the Old Testament where a king is anointed. I read two of them.
You know what you'll find in the New Testament? The exact same thing. You'll find three times where a king, well, actually there's more than that in the Old Testament. But you'll read that there was three who were talking about being anointed, and one was Artaxerxes, and the other two were the same person, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, it does talk about anointing David and Saul. But in the New Testament, it's mentioned three times. And when it talks about king, being anointed as king in the New Testament, it is talking about Jesus Christ. You see, you have heard it said many times that he is the King of Kings. What does that terminology mean? Does it have significance that is termed as King of Kings? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, it talks about him being the King of Kings. In Revelation chapter 17, I think around verse, I'm going to say 4. Maybe it's later than that. But it talks about him being King of Kings. In Revelation 19 and verse 16, it refers to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, and it's all caps. It's all capital letters. King is capitalized, of is capitalized, and King is capitalized. It's King of Kings. What is the difference between those who are anointed King in the Old Testament and the King of Kings? You see, he was anointed to this position. He is the King. He set up a kingdom here. But what we must understand is the kingdoms in the Old Testament, what happened to each one of those kings? They reigned. They ruled. They had authority. But what happened to their kingdoms? What happened to their rule? What happened to their reign? It ended. Well, see, when we talk about the King of Kings, we're talking about one tonight, friends, whose kingdom, whose kingship will never end. He has an everlasting kingdom. And that's the point I've missed. There's three times that a king is mentioned there in the Old Testament. And it's talking about one who has been anointed king. But it's talking about also that the kingdom is everlasting. Kingdom is everlasting. We got to understand that he has an everlasting kingdom. He is the King of Kings. Scripture says he's the Lord of Lords. He has all authority and all rule. His kingdom, he set up this kingdom. And let me tell you, friends, he has a kingdom he established here on earth. And he also has a kingdom in heaven. This kingdom that he set up on earth here, my friends, is a kingdom that's going to end. But the thing about that kingdom is those who make that kingdom up here are going to live on. They're going to live in eternity. Those who've been born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will live again in that kingdom. That will never see an end. It will be for all eternity. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we talk about the priest, there was priests who were anointed. And what was the office of the priest? What did they do? They made sacrifices. They made sacrifices first for themselves and also for the sins of the people. This great high priest, offered himself to God, not for his own sins, but for the sins of his people. And let me tell you, you don't have to read very much and you find out exactly how that worked. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. I think I skipped 16. I think I went on to 17. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You see what he offered himself on? And he's called the great high priest. Why is that? Why is he called the great high priest? How many priests have come since Jesus Christ offering sacrifices? There's no need for blood sacrifices. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and he shed it for his people. That's what the Bible says. That's what the book says. It says that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He offered himself to God one time. And I like what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. 4:14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, there's what he did. He was all points tempted like we are, but yet without sin. But he is a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And it's not the verse that I want to get to. I believe it's the next verse. Here we go. 7:26. If you want to know about the priesthood of Christ, you just read the book of Hebrews. It tells you all about his priesthood. There's so many verses here that we could talk about. We could start at Hebrews 1:1 if we wanted to. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. It says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, severed from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. He did it one time. He offered the sins one time. See, that's how he's anointed above us. We had these Old Testament priests, and they offered sacrifices. They offered it twice a day, 364 days a year. Once a year, they did it three times a day. They did it in the morning, they did it noon, and they did it afternoon at 9, 12, and 3. At one time, they went to what's called the Holy of Holies. They made a sacrifice for the sins of themselves and then for the sins of the people. But see, he offered himself to God without spot, without blemish. And let me tell you something. When he finished, he did it one time. You know why? Because he got perfection. He completed what he came to do. He purchased you and he purchased me on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, my friends, we will live in heaven and immortal glory. And I got news for you. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. And you probably do too. Not ready to go now, but you look forward to that day. But you see, he offered himself to God one time. And now, when he finished, you see, a priest never sat down because he constantly had to go back and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. When he finished, when he offered himself to God, he sat down, and he is seated now on the right hand of the Majesty on high, because he's the great high priest. Therefore, he was anointed above his fellows. That's why his fellows are his friends, those that he loves and he cares for, those he united by the shedding of his blood. It's the ones he stood instead for. And I'm going to tell you, the more I think about that, it just makes me feel so good to know there's one who stood in my, and for me, in my stead, and paid for my sins and my transgressions, who loved me and gave himself for me, as the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 26. It says, let's back up a little bit here. Let's read 24 and get this whole thought here. Read up through 26. This is Hebrews 9:24-26. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
See, once again, he's anointed above his fellows in king because his kingdom will never end. His rule will never end. You know, today could have been a unique day here in the United States. Had they voted to impeach Trump, his reign, his rule would have ended. And it's going to end either at the end of this term or if he gets reelected in 4 more years, because there's a term limit. He can go 8 years. But let me tell you about this high priest. Friends, he did it. And his kingdom doesn't end. His priesthood ended. It ended. That's the thing about his priesthood. He's still the great high priest because he's above his fellows. He paid the debt. His sacrifice was effectual. It was effective. It took care of what he came to do, you see. So now, we got to look at one other thing here. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. And I hope I can find what I'm looking for here. I think it's in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. What is a prophet? I probably should have defined this earlier. But what's a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks with divine authority. Now, let me clarify that. He doesn't have divine authority, but the Lord gives him what to say. Read in the Old Testament how many times those prophets would say, this is what the Lord has told me to tell you. This is what the Lord said to do. But here is one that's above all. Jesus says in Luke 4 and 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who is he talking about speaking to? Is he talking about those who are poor in things of the world? Or is he talking about those who are poor in spirit? He's talking about those who are poor in spirit. Keep listening. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And if you want to read very similar language, just read Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. And you'll read the very same language, almost, very close. What's he saying? See, those prophets in the Old Testament spoke under the authority of God. They spoke on what God would have them to say. It's not something they came up with their own. But here's one who was God. He was man, but yet he was God. And he spoke with authority. You think about how many times that he told someone who was dead to take up thy bed and walk, or Lazarus, come forth, or he spoke to the deaf, or those who were blind, and he healed those of those diseases, my friends. How many times do you ever hear of him failing? I never hear of one time where Jesus Christ said something for something to happen that didn't happen. That's how he was anointed above his fellows and the prophet, because when he spoke, he was speaking with authority because he was God. He was God himself. And he was above his fellows. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. And you've got to understand that oil of gladness, friends, is this. He understood that he was going to be successful in all those offices. He knew he was not going to fail at being a prophet, at being the high priest, at being king. He knew he was going to be successful. And that's why he is anointed above his fellows with the oil of gladness, my friend. We're his fellows. We're his friends. We're those that he loves. We're the ones he stood in our place and shed his blood for us. But now, let's go to one last place here. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, I believe it is. Luke chapter 24. There's several places we can go to, but we're going to finish right here. Verse 26. You know about two men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes to them and asks why they have a sad countenance, and they begin to ask, are you a stranger and not know what's taking place in Israel? Trust me, he knew. But he says in verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that sermon? Can you imagine being able to hear that sermon? Would you like to have that recorded?
I can tell you, I would love to have that recorded. That's the one sermon I wish I would have been able to record and I could listen to again and again, because it said he started at Moses, which is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And he said he expounded himself unto them. Friends, he preached to them. He told them who he was. He told them everything, all these figures and types and shadows here in the Old Testament that was pointing to him. He told them about those things. And you know what it says here? I love this verse here in verse 32. It says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us the scriptures?
Friends, let me tell you, when you are spoken to by God, and let me tell you, God does call men to preach, and he can use those men. But let me tell you, they're speaking what the Lord gives them. If it touches your heart and causes it to burn, it's not of that man, it's of the Lord, you see. And let me tell you, when the Lord spoke to them and said, didn't our heart burn within us? Can you imagine being under the sound of Jesus Christ teaching? Friends, we understand some things. We understand that he was anointed above his fellows. Oh, the oil of gladness. You know, the Bible says that he despised the shame. But for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. Can you imagine the joy that was set before him? That he endured the shame of the cross. What was that joy? What was that joy? Friends, let me tell you, when he speaks to you, you hear. When he says live, you live. That's why he's anointed above his fellows. I hope you've gotten a little bit from what I'm trying to speak this evening. May the Lord bless you.